you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near. So good to see you. Hope that it's clear.
Reading from Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, July 25th, 2022. And I have two special guests in the studio with me, Dave and Kay Lemons. And they're the best kinds of guests because they've already said, Mark, we want this to be all about the Lord, how he answered prayer, how he's working through the details and circumstances, how he has worked throughout our lives. And so let's keep it about him, because I wanted to say a bunch of great things about their marriage and how involved they are in our ministry leaders network and prayer rallies that have gone on in this area. And that's really where we met up, I guess, a couple of years ago you were helping launch the prayer initiative in Urbana because you wanted to be a part of a national prayer gathering. And because of circumstances, that didn't work out. And you said, well, let's just do it here.
Right.
And I think we had you on a few years ago talking about that. And since then, we've had an ongoing relationship, and you have a real heart for unifying the various pastors in a common cause, whether it's prayer or revival. You attend Meadowbrook Church, and we all appreciate Pastor Ron and Pastor Aaron. You help out, as I mentioned, with our Ministry Leaders Network, oftentimes bringing dessert or helping with the cost of the meals. And it's been great getting to know you, but recently the News Gazette did a story on you two, and it's titled Memorable Meeting, and a lot of prayer went into meeting up with someone, so I'm going to let you share some of that story. But because on Monday we oftentimes read from our book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early, I thought we would start with a reading because both of you are all about prayer, and it just felt like this is working out perfect that you're available today, that we'll talk about prayer, and then we'll see how God actually answered prayer in such a unique way, bringing people together from different countries in Croatia. And that was just over a month ago. So we're going to read from chapter 4. The title of this section is The Power of Prayer Partners in 1400 BC. And Kay, why don't you read our little section here?
Okay. Thank you, Mark. This is a story from the life of Moses that serves as a great picture of the importance and impact of the leader being supported by the prayers of his people. The Hebrews were being attacked by the Amalekites. Joshua was to lead the army out and fight, while Moses was to stand on the hill holding up his staff, which symbolized God's power and victory. The plan worked until Moses' arm got tired. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning, according to Exodus 17, verses 10 and 11. Fortunately, Moses had two men who took it upon themselves to hold up his hands. These unsung heroes were the difference between defeat and victory. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword, in verses 12 through 13.
And what's so appropriate and interesting about this passage, and many of our listeners are familiar with this story, this biblical narrative of how God used prayer and the assistance of prayer warriors surrounding Moses. But I know when you went on your trip to Croatia, you were asking your friends and people to be praying up the circumstances because it was unknown whether you would get to meet with this child that you had supported and whether the logistics would work out with the war in Ukraine. You know, where would he be and could anything come together? And so it was really neat how many people you were asking to pray for your trip.
True. The point of this event is twofold. First, the people are only able to fully experience victory as their leader holds his or her hands up in prayer for them. That's in 1 Timothy 2:1. Second, leaders must be sustained through the prayers of their people. E.M. Bounds was a successful lawyer, pastor, editor, and evangelist. He gave the last 17 years of his life to prayer, rising every day without exception at 4 a.m. and praying until 7 a.m.
Can you imagine? I mean, we're all early risers because there's a lot to do, but 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. every day.
That, no.
3 hours.
Yeah, for all those years.
During this period, he wrote a series of classic books on prayer. Regarding the event recorded in Exodus 17 and a chapter entitled The Preacher's Cry, Pray for Us, Bounds wrote, "By common consent, this incident in the history of Israel has been recognized as a striking illustration of how people may sustain their preacher by prayer and how victory comes when people pray for their preacher."
Hmm.
We have a striking picture of the preacher's need for prayer and what a people's prayers can do for him. In his widely popular book, Power Through Prayer, Bounds included a chapter titled, "Preachers Need the Prayers of People." In it, he stated, "Air is not more necessary to the lungs than prayer to the preacher."
Hmm.
It is absolutely necessary for the preacher to pray. It is absolutely necessary for the preacher to be prayed for. The true apostolic preacher must have the prayers of other people to give his ministry its full quota of success.
And Kay and Dave, if you hadn't heard some of our programs on Monday for the past few weeks, we've been talking about the importance of prayer and the necessity for people to be praying for their pastors, yeah, their church leaders,
yeah,
and then on behalf of this ministry. And the beginning of chapter 4 was train others to pray for you. And I thought, wow, it seems a little self-serving, but I covet appreciate all the people's prayers.
Typically, in motive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, this again is a great reminder to be praying for our pastors and the importance of all of us interceding on behalf of them and those that serve us.
This section closes out with this final paragraph. Peter Wagner wrote an entire book on the need for intercession to be made on behalf of spiritual leaders. The thesis of the book is very clear. The most underutilized source of spiritual power in our churches today is intercession for Christian leaders. If we hope to be the prevailing church Jesus predicted, we must pray for our leaders. If we hope to become the leaders our churches need us to be, we must train our people to pray for us.
Amen. Isn't it interesting, our conversations before today's edition of Mark and Friends was, how can we rally the ministry leaders network to come together for prayer,
yeah,
encouraging
right,
their congregation
prayer
to come out and pray.
Prayer is the key. Prayer
all comes
so
together.
That's what we've been talking about. Well, you've seen God answer some very specific prayers, unique prayers, prayers that you could almost not fathom coming together. So take us through the story, how you got to meet this child who's now, what, an 18-year-old? 17-year-old in Croatia, yeah, and how that all came together because of prayer.
Okay. Well, we really begin by telling you that 8 years ago, we became involved with Operation Christmas Child,
mm-hmm,
that program that Franklin Graham has sponsored where you pack shoeboxes that go all over the world. And every year that we packed our own shoeboxes, we would pray over them that God would use those to bless people. However, we never dreamt that we would be used in a way that he did because, you know, worldwide last year, there were 12 million shoeboxes that went out around mm-hmm the world. Meadowbrook Community Church, which is a collection center, we ourselves collected 11,000 shoeboxes. And the program began in 1993. Franklin Graham began that program then. And since that time, 199 million shoeboxes have gone out all over the world. Well, pick it up, Kay.
Well, in January, we received a thank you note from this young boy in Ukraine who received our box. Well, to be honest with you, we've sent out a lot of boxes. And in all that time, we've only received three thank yous. Mm-hmm. And so to receive a thank you note from him via email was very special. So we wrote him back, and he wrote us back, and pretty soon we have a pen pal relationship going on through our email contacts.
And how long was that interaction, the pen pal, going on?
It still goes on today.
Okay.
But it started in January, and then in March, the war broke out in Ukraine. Well, his father wanted his sister, his brother, him, his cousin, and his mother to take a bus and go to Croatia and escape the war.
And I think the father had to stay behind because he was in
the military. That's right. The father stayed behind
in the military,
and he was fighting the war. And while we were corresponding with Ivan, he would almost daily mention some kind of a scripture that he was standing on. Mm. He loved the Bible, and that, of course, encouraged us to have more contact with it. He wrote us in April this scripture from Psalm 47, which we began with. Speaking of God, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And it's what the scripture he was standing on to believe that God will bring victory to the war in Ukraine.
Hmm. I know Wayne Shepherd, who's going to be on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, Lord willing, along with Tim Pico, because they're helping host this Unity for Ukraine at Meadowbrook Church. And so we've been talking a bit about that. There's a number of radio announcements encouraging everyone to come out Friday, August 5th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Meadowbrook Church, 1902 South Duncan Avenue. But with Wayne's posts and many of us trying to pray for Ukraine and figure things out, and Lord, what are you doing and how do you preserve life? But there are a lot of Christians in Ukraine. And I noticed on some of these posts that even in governmental positions, it's interesting because God seems to be stirring up a lot of those Christians or introducing many people without hope to the Lord. But here this Ivan that you've been corresponding with knows the Lord. And so
is standing on the word of God for victory in Ukraine.
What happened?
That blessed us beyond measure.
So how did God work out the details where you actually met up?
Okay. Well, we go to the Regent Dance Club. And for 2 years, we've had a trip to Croatia planned. But because of COVID, that's been canceled. Well, guess what? This year, we discovered the trip is on. So I wrote him and said, we'll be coming to Croatia. Is there any way that you could possibly come and see us? Well, they are refugees in Karlovac, Croatia, which is very north in Croatia. And we would be in Dubrovnik, which is southwest of where they are, and they would have to travel through Bosnia. So he said, I don't have an international passport. He's 17, so there probably wouldn't be any way.
And
he
I read or something, it's like a 6 hour or so drive.
Six
so this is
drive,
not
yeah.
just an easy commute.
No, it would be difficult.
Since he didn't have a passport, he mentioned to the Red Cross workers work with the refugees in Croatia. And he just happened to mention that to them. And they were so inspired. They said, hey, listen, we'll drive you there.
Wow.
Amazing.
So we get this message from Ivan that the Red Cross will drive him to meet us when we are in Croatia.
In Dubrovnik. So Body and Soul, which is a shoe store out on 45, donates many, many, many boxes to Operation Christmas Child and is familiar with this. So I went out there and I talked to Mike Lindemann, and he knows the story. He says, I'll provide shirts and bags for all of those people.
Wow.
So thanks to him, everybody was dressed.
We had 12 shirts, 12 bags in our suitcase, which we were able to give to his family and all the Red Cross workers.
And what's kind of neat in hindsight is you're seeing God answer all these prayers and put facets of it together, things that no way could just happened, and you got to meet Ivan, but you also got to meet some of his family, I believe, because there was a picture in the News Gazette, the front page of our county section, and there you're shown in a pool, and so God orchestrated that to work it out. Right?
Yeah, well, what happened was we thought Ivan was coming. We thought the Red Cross was bringing Ivan, and since we knew we were going to be at this hotel with a swimming pool, we said, hey, listen, bring your swim trunks. Well, we just knew possibly we'd meet him. We're at the hotel at 2 o'clock on the 22nd of June, and in walk Ivan, his brother, his mother, and his cousin that the Red Cross dropped him off, and we were only with them for 7 hours.
Wow.
I get chills just thinking about it.
Yeah, because so many people, as you said, millions of people have sent these shoeboxes around the world, but the likelihood of ever really meeting up with the person or even touching base. Sometimes you might get a photograph or something, but you got to. And I remember you guys praying, like, there's a likelihood or there's a chance. It's a real, real long shot, but we might be able to meet them, be praying.
I think our real prayer was two things. One, that we would bless the people that got a shoebox and possibly hear from them. Never once did we dream we would ever meet them.
And he's a refugee from Ukraine.
Yeah, yeah. So he shouldn't have even been in Croatia.
No.
And the fact that your dance group was going. And so tell us a little about that trip, too. What did you experience while you were there?
What we told him, we would bring him some gifts from the United States. And he said there were only two things he would like to have. He speaks essentially four languages. And he would like an English Bible.
What languages does he speak?
Oh, my goodness.
Croatian?
Russian.
Maybe Serbian
some
or
English,
I don't know. Okay.
Croatian,
and
Russian,
Ukrainian.
And some English.
Some English. But he said he would also like a harmonica. He's so talented. It's just amazing, this young man. He's a concert pianist. He is an artist. He plays the guitar. And he had this little kind of like child's harmonica you might have had. It's about 4 inches long. So we bought him a tremolo harmonica. He opened it up and immediately started playing.
Yeah, there's a picture of him. Ivan plays harmonica given to him by Dave and Kay Lemons, who is our special guest today on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it can be accessed at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, wluj.org on the Mark and Friends tab. But isn't it neat how God works out and answers prayer?
It sure does.
Yes.
And, you know, when he received this Bible, that was his big thing. He wanted an English Bible because he could read the Bible in Russian, Ukrainian, and Croatian, but he wanted to read the Bible in English. One of the things that we didn't anticipate when we met him, we thought we'd talk with him like you and I are right now. Well, it was more pronounced and exact English. And he wanted the English Bible so he could learn more about God in English. Wow.
He's so talented.
Well, we went swimming. That was a nice activity. And talk about how God worked everything together.
Another God wink.
Oh, yes. I should point out, I oftentimes say God sightings and such, and you like to say God winks.
This was another one.
You talk about a God wink. You won't believe this one. We're swimming with his family in the pool. And a guy named Sam, who's also among our dance group, is swimming. Sam's from Romania and speaks Russian. And Russian is a cognate of the languages that Ivan speaks. So Ivan and Sam were able to communicate, and he was our translator. God just provided everything for
that. Right, right. And you got to spend, like you mentioned, 7 hours you would have never fathomed could come together, and it came together. And I bet it increased not only your faith but your prayer life to say, wow, God, we all know God answers prayer, but you saw specifically in so many unique ways.
Well, it was really like a puzzle, and there were different pieces of it, and he just put it all together. I would say one of the sadder parts, though, were seeing pictures of Ivan and his family's home totally destroyed. Mm-hmm. He loved his favorite garden. His uncle has been hurt in the war. His father has tried to put the home back together, but there's no electricity at one time. There's no fuel, and he's been living in a barn with bombs dropping around him. So those are very sad aspects of his life.
We do it, but Ivan insisted that we continue to pray daily for not just his father, but all of Ukraine. And seeing Ivan just reinforced the desire we have to pray for not only Ivan and his family, but for the peace in Ukraine.
And to pack shoeboxes.
Yeah, future shoeboxes. And so when that dials up in the fall, usually around November, many churches participate and get involved. Uh-huh. And I'm sure we'll be doing some interviews about that, because it's such a wonderful way to reach the youth around the world, because they get some of the necessities they need, and maybe some chocolates or some fun things, and then usually scripture or Bible or a New Testament and so forth.
Now, I was in El Salvador when the children down there received their shoeboxes. It was very, very exciting to see the thrill.
Yeah, they open them up and they just cheer and compare and show everyone what they have.
Right.
Well, it's wonderful that in less than 2 weeks at the Meadowbrook Church, there's going to be an evening called Unity for Ukraine. There'll be a worship band. Wayne Shepherd will be coming down. He's been very involved in the Moody Broadcasting Network. There'll be other special speakers to help inform us on how we can get involved, how we can donate, how we can impact families, because they need necessities. They need food, they need encouragement, and there's these eye care packages, eye care boxes. They're loaded with food and supplies and scripture to minister to the people of Ukraine and those that are displaced and the refugees that are in different countries. So Unity for Ukraine at Meadowbrook Church on Friday night, August 5th, 7 to 9 p.m. You can find out more at missioneurasia.org, missioneurasia.org, or call the station. We have information and can send you a link at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. And again, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org. You can send it on to a friend and mention that there's some exciting things going on and how specifically God answers prayer.
Right.
Wow.
Amen.
We do serve a God that's very individual. He'll answer your prayers. He'll listen to your prayers on behalf of others. We always encourage you to be praying for your pastors and those in a leadership position. And we're praying up that our community will come together maybe in the fall with many churches involved, probably putting on a special event here at Marketplace Mall with a worship team and praying for different facets of our community and our government and the various ways God will work. And so be praying that up as we put together a team of people to work with the pastors and the churches so we can all come out and pray together.
Amen. Right. Amen.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Dave and Kay Lemons with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.